How do we as Christians seek dialogue with people of other faiths? And can we remain true to Christ's command to spread the good news without offending people from different religions? How do the activities of some zealous Christian missionary churches reflect on other Christian denominations? These were just some of the questions examined in a recent meeting outside Rome involving the Vatican's Office for Interreligious Dialogue and the World Council of Churches.
Since 1970s, there has been increasing collaboration because we have come to this conviction that better we are ecumenically in the world, the more effective is our dialogue with people of other religions. Our dialogue becomes more credible if we approach it ecumenically and not separately, as it were.
Monsignor Felix Machado is Undersecretary at the Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue. He says the Vatican has come together with the WCC to examine the challenges posed by conversion issues. The two have launched a study aimed at determining a common course of action, and it's a part of a series of other joint projects.
The objective of these study projects is to kind of help our Christians in their pastoral daily life.
The Interreligious Dialogue Office of the WCC and its Vatican counterpart meet regularly to share the concerns of their members and clergy around the world.
In several parts of the world, and at this time it was particularly from India, there were controversies growing between Christians and Hindus on the issue of conversion.
Reverend Hans Uko is head of interreligious relations for the World Council of Churches. He explains one of the red flags raised that led to the joint study project on conversions.
Following initiatives of maybe more parachurch groups and maybe more evangelical groups from outside India being involved in a zealous mission or crusades or whatever you want to call it, that created tensions between local Christians and Hindus. And following this, we began to think about whether this issue of conversion would not be an issue that we needed to address, not only given the controversy in India, but as an issue that has both interreligious and intra-Christian dimensions.
Often people suspected the Christians of not really being frank and honest, but having some kind of a hidden agenda. They think that we are using interreligious dialogue only to convert people of other religions to Christianity.
Well, some of you might remember the controversy surrounding Christian efforts to provide aid to the victims of the 2004 tsunami in Southeast Asia. Some Christian missionaries were accused of coercing Muslims into converting to Christianity, and the alleged actions of a few individuals ended up throwing all Christians into a bad light.
There are always a very few who do some things, but then the whole group is blamed for what is done by a few individuals. I don't know the exact statistics of what really happened. But why do you speak of these stray cases, I ask them, which are to be condemned if that is true? You know, because I don't think our faith, I feel and I believe firmly, our faith is gift from God. And if it is gift from God, it cannot be forced on anyone. Because God himself, since it is his gift, does not force the faith on anybody. Why should we be doing that?
constantly we have had reports on this from various places in the world, and particularly after the tsunami. The initiative that we are now launching, I think, has within the WCC constituency gained a support, not least because there is also a tension within among our Orthodox member churches of mission in the former Soviet Union by, let's call them, more zealous Protestant or evangelical groups doing mission among Orthodox. So it has those reverberations as well.
But also, look at all the help that the Christian churches extended to tsunami people. I think we were one of the first and one of the most trusted people in order to help other people, you know. Let us look at the president of the Pontifical Council Coronum, Archbishop Cordes, who was sent by Pope John Paul II and sent in order to bring concretely solace, comfort, solidarity, help to these people. But also I know of other Protestant, mainline Protestant churches that went all out of their way to help tsunami people. Now, a few, I don't know who authorized them, but a few people, individuals, might have done something. These few are taken and blown out of proportion and given the impression as though all Christians are only doing this. I think this is unfair, absolutely unfair.
But does this mean churches should not evangelize at all out of fear they'll be misunderstood?
We felt that on the one hand, we want to say very clearly to everybody that part of being Christian is also the mission to proclaim the gospel of Jesus to all people. Part of being Christian is also to be able to invite people, all people of whatever religion also, to become disciple of Jesus by accepting baptism and incorporation in the church. So we want to make this very clear that this is not a hidden agenda, but this is part of the integrity of the Catholic faith. On the other hand, we want to tell people that we are proposing and we have all the right to propose this gospel of Jesus Christ to every creature, that we are not forcing anybody, that we are not imposing this on anybody. So these are two things we want to make very clear, and so we thought of undertaking this joint project with the Dialogue Office of the World Council of Churches and the Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue. We thought that the general theme of this study project would be interreligious reflection on conversion from controversy to a shared code of conduct. And we divided this project into three sub-themes, which we hope to treat in three single meetings, of which first we have already had. The first we had was on interreligious reflection on conversion. We wanted to assess the reality, kind of see where we are, whether all that is being said corresponds to the reality.
The World Council of Churches and the Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue invited a small number of their Protestant and Catholic Church members to the May study conference. Muslims, Jews, Buddhists, and Hindus were also asked to contribute, but was anyone surprised by what they learned?
It was kind of enlightening to see that the people we invited were kind of helpful. They were there to help us, and they knew our intention was frank and honest. They knew that we wanted to really listen, so they were very candid and frank. No, in the sense, we didn't learn much because we already have heard the allegations and accusations against us Christians particularly, which I think is not exactly founded on reality. People were talking a bit in the vague, saying and accusing that we force people to become Christians. At least to speak for the Catholic Church, I think it is not at all true. And in today's world, I would really be surprised, and I wonder if this is really corresponding to the truth. Let's take an example. People in the United States, you know, people accuse often Christians forcing other people to become Christians. And they say that there are evangelicals and there are Pentecostals who do this. I have big hesitations to accept these accusations because, not because I'm prejudiced, but in the United States of America, there are so many immigrants of other religions. And I know the religious liberty, not only guaranteed by the United States of America, but the way our Christian churches help these immigrants in times of necessity, but also in other times, that if we really wanted to force people, I think we could start from there. But de facto, it is not at all corresponding to that reality. So I don't want to kind of, you know, take a kind of a priori prejudicial position. I want to listen to people of other religions, but I think this kind of reputation that we just force people is not simply true to the reality.
I think also, at least by some Pentecostal and evangelical Christians, there is also an interest to try to see what can we do to address this, that we are not causing a communalism or disrupt the social fiber between Christians and others. And so, although we are not having maybe all Christian churches, be it WCC churches and others outside the WCC constituency, there is an interest at least to address this issue.
How many, if any, of some of these evangelical churches are part of your organization?
This is difficult to say. I would say that basically the WCC membership is more among what is called mainstream Protestantism. So we do not have very many of more, let's say, Pentecostal churches. There are a few member churches. And maybe among those evangelical groups that have their bases mostly in the U.S. and maybe in the Southern Baptist family, also are not members of the WCC.
So what steps are being taken to increase the dialogue with evangelical and Pentecostal churches to create a more unified picture of Christianity, of what it means to be Christian?
Well, this enforces all the more our desire for ecumenism. How important it is to be ecumenically united in order that our message, our Christian message, becomes more credible in our world. I think it is not for nothing that the ecumenical movement was born in the mission countries. This has been always the felt need that in mission we need to be one body of Christ. We cannot be a divided body of Christ. More we are united, better our Christian and more effective our Christian proclamation would become. And so this is one way, I suppose, of promoting ecumenism.
We had some evangelical Christians participating in this conference, and our intention is now to, in all humility, invite as many Christian representatives as possible from, if I may call them, the three constituencies that we have: the Roman Catholic Church, the WCC member churches, and Christians coming from evangelical and Pentecostal groups. So now we are involved in seeking to build upon the relations that we established in this meeting, following the process that is now to begin, where we hope to engage Christians from evangelical and Pentecostal traditions.
Reverend Hans Uko there, head of the Interreligious Relations Office for the World Council of Churches. You also heard from Monsignor Felix Machado, Undersecretary of the Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue. The joint study project on conversion is expected to conclude in the year 2009.